I invite you to turn your Bibles with to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We'll take a look here at verse number 27 as our starting point for the thought this morning. And I had some things rolling around in my heart and mind this week connected to this. This is like one slice of it, I guess. And the issue, or the point of conviction. We all have convictions. We can have convictions about all kinds of different things. The convictions are manifested in the ways that we go and what we do, what we pursue. Where the treasure of our heart is maybe another way to describe it. In regards to convictions, we have those convictions that we have about different things, all things of life, all things about the Lord. We have convictions or we don't have convictions. I mean, we'll just look at it in the positive note. Maybe it would be that convictions of some wouldn't include the Lord. I mean, they have those convictions. And talk about convictions, you know, we're not talking about a criminal conviction, okay, where somebody has been before the court and they've been tried, the evidence has been sought out and brought forth, and you know they've been found that they're guilty of a crime. We're not talking about that conviction. We're talking about the meaning of conviction where we believe something is the truth, and because of that, our life is affected by it. Our life is modified by it, if you will, changed by it. So you've got the conviction. We've got what the convictions drive us toward, and I think drive is a good word. I think about the where the scripture says about the Holy Spirit drove the Lord Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan for 40 days. You know, it's good to be driven by the Holy Spirit of God, isn't it? I mean, what's better than that? What's better than that? So we have our convictions, we have the modification of our lives by these convictions, the purpose, the pursuit, the direction of our lives and what we do, what we say, what we think, what we put down in our hearts, you know, and what we allow to rise up in our hearts because of our convictions. But then we've got, where do the convictions come from? Because convictions come from somewhere. And convictions can come from self. It can come from our fathers. It can come from our grandparents. It can come from folks that we highly esteem. Or convictions, the best convictions come from the Lord. And so in that thinking about convictions and those aspects of convictions, this morning I'd like us to consider, behold how much you and I need Jesus. The word behold, we don't use that much. And some years ago, we made sure that in the sketches in Vacation Bible School that Jerry had in his lines to that word behold. It became a real thing that we focused on for the children. The children grabbed a hold of that and we pressed it. To behold means to take a look at. That's what it means. We don't use that word a lot. It's not in our language today. It certainly is in the scriptures. Behold how much you need Jesus. Behold how much you and I need Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, verse number 27, our Lord Jesus has been speaking to cities and how the gospel has come to them and they've rejected it. And how had it gone to Tyre and Sidon, you know, for example, they would have repented. And so the Lord knows all those kind of things. Before that, he's spoken about John the Baptist. And of course, he's the forerunner of Christ and the fulfilling of that prophecy. And in verse 25, our Lord prays. He praises the Father about who he's revealed things to. And it says in verse number 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, all. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, Neither knoweth any man the Father, that's you and me, man, the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So, you know, without the Son, we can't even see or understand or know that the Father's there, or the truth about the Father. Got to have the Lord Jesus Christ. And so may our Lord help us this morning as we consider about this. Behold how much you need Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for your blessings upon us. We thank you for the past week and all your goodness to us therein. We thank you for the privilege to be able to worship you today, and for each one that's come and their families. Father, you've been so good to us. Help us, Father, that we would continue to worship you, and that our desire, as the song declares, would be to worship you. And we praise your name for all that you've done, all you've promised, how you work in our hearts and lives. Lord, just help us that we would be convicted by you and to be obedient to what you've said and what you've have us to pursue as your children and our families, our homes, our church. And Lord, to stay away from the things that we just don't need to be meddling with and have anything to do with us. Father, help us and give us conviction. Help us, Father, to see about how we need you this morning, how we need the Son. And Lord, reveal to us wondrous things out of your word and about you. We pray, Father, for those that are here and not saved, Lord, that you would touch them and convict them, stir them. Open their eyes, open their hearts, open their ears, Father. Make the word, your word, effectual unto them. And just use us as your instruments in your hand to be a relayer of what you've said. Help us, Father, and bless. We pray and ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 45, and I trust this is a familiar passage with you, we look on at this knowing that Christ has come, and so it makes it really, there's not a mist, there's not a fog here. We understand about how it is that in this passage, what the Lord has said is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read this passage, behold how much you and I need Jesus. In Isaiah 45, verse number 1, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Cyrus was Darius and Cyrus. They were kings of the Medes and the Persians. I can't keep them straight, which is which. But the Lord's speaking to this man through Isaiah, through the Holy Spirit of God. And he's declaring that he takes this man and he's going to move him and use him around to where that man's going to go forth thinking that what he does is his own good idea. Isn't that something? The man's not going to rest against the Lord. From the standpoint of knowing that it's the Lord that's doing this and buck against it. But God Almighty is so great that he can take even a heathen and use him the way he wants to use him. Amen. Now he's doing this. I want you to listen and hear this. He's doing this for the sake of his nation. Now Cyrus, I wonder if Cyrus in time wasn't a man saved by the Lord. Because you take a look at the way that he operated in his kingdom, it was totally, totally different than any other. But the Lord's doing this for the sake of his own. And isn't that wondrous how the Lord can work? He can bless an individual, if Cyrus was saved, and those around him. And then he can take that individual and he not even knowing what he's doing on the front end, if you will, if the Lord did save him in time by the witness of Brother Daniel and the others that were there. He can take him and use him, and the fellow thinks it's his great good idea, and then the Lord saves him and then takes his work, his kingdom, and uses it for the sake of a nation. Listen, not only for the sake of a nation, but for the sake of mankind of the world. Behold how much we need Jesus. Verse 4, for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee that thou, though thou hast not known me. You hear that? I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. He says, I've set you up, Cyrus, from the standpoint of providing for him, bringing him to his kingdom, giving him the power and the ability, the host that he has, the ability to move and be a conqueror among nations. The Lord said he's done that. He said, even though you don't know me, verse number 6, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. None beside me. There's nobody else. Nobody else out there to pray to. There's no one else out there to seek. There's no one else out there to be obedient to. There's no one else out there to hear. The Lord says, but me, him. It's the Lord speaking of himself. I am the Lord, and there is none else. And so the Lord's going to give some understanding here. I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace and create evil. Now understand that the Lord's not saying that he's the author of wickedness. Okay, understand that. But he did create Satan. And he only gave Lucifer the bound that he gave him by his righteous understanding, work, and power. He's God, and beside him there's no other. We can't reason with God the way that you and I reason with each other. He made Lucifer, but God is not the author of sin. He just didn't bestow upon Lucifer that which was needed to restrain him. He let him be. He made him great, but he let him be. I, the Lord, do all these. Verse 8, drop down, ye heavens, from above. Let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. He's created it all. That's the reason Satan and depravity of men is so pressing and has pressed for decades evolution. But so much comes out of evolution, you know, that just has invaded our lives and even our speech. Satan is sneaky. But it's the Lord that's created us. I, the Lord, have created it. Verse number 9. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Is that you? Don't be found striving against the Lord. Brother Bobby read it this morning. It won't end up anywhere good, will it, brother? It's not going to, striving against the Lord is not going to work. It will never work. Whether it be passive or whether it be aggressive, it will not work. Don't strive against the Lord. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or thy work, that he hath no hands? Woe to him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? The child said, what have you done and make? You don't reply against the Lord. You receive the Lord. because he's created us. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be here in the first place and have life. Is it not good to live? It's good to live, isn't it? We have that from the Lord. Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? To that which is begotten of fathers and mothers, does that reply to their parents and say, look what you've done? No, we're glad to be alive. So why strive against God? Verse 11, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. He says, ask. The Lord knows what he's doing. He's not befuddled about anything. It may look like chaos here upon the earth, but the Lord, the plan of the Lord, you know why it's chaos? Because of us. Because of Satan. Because of sin. Because of depravity. Not because of the Lord. The Lord is not fretting about anything. Matter of fact, he's long-suffering. He's given us, indeed, more time than we deserve. Amen. We deserve nothing. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. You want to talk about creating? You want to talk about doing? Okay, here's my resume, the Lord says. How about yours? It's pretty pitiful, isn't it? Our ability compared to his ability, and we're going to fuss at him. We're going to deny him. I have raised him up, verse 13, in righteousness. I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city. He shall let go my captives not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. I think he's getting back to Cyrus, isn't he? Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt, the merchandise of Ethiopia and the Sabaeans, men of stature shall come over unto thee in time. This is what the Lord's going to turn it to. And they shall come after thee, and chains shall they come over, and they shall fall down unto thee, and they shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. They will see. I think that's indicative of it's telling us about what's going to happen in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. The Lord's got his nation. The Lord's got his purpose. The Lord's got his plan. And none can thwart it. Verily, verse number 15, verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. Now, Isaiah is speaking here. Thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. You know, but that was in Isaiah's time. He's not hidden himself today, has he? Especially in our land, it's very apparent who God is. How do we know the Lord? Right here in this book. And it's everywhere. It's been everywhere. In our land, I mean, it's getting into the point, but until recent decades, everybody in our country knew or had heard about Jehovah God and Jesus Christ, at least. It's not like you had to start with some and they didn't even know about Jehovah God in other lands. We've had missionaries tell us that. Because of the blessing of our Lord. He's the Savior. The Savior, the only Savior. Verse number 16, they shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them, those that are against the Lord. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Speaking now of his deliverance of his nation, ye shall not be ashamed or confounded, world without end. You hear that? World without end. That's the future with the Lord. World without end. He will deliver. And he used Cyrus back in that day to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple and that. And there was a time there that they had that until 70 AD. But the Lord is ultimately going to deliver Israel to a permanent deliverance, an everlasting salvation, because that's how the way the Lord saves. Verse 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formeth the earth and made it. Remember that. Here's what he says. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. The Lord created the earth, and everything that the Lord has done is going to happen. Sin has messed this one up. And you know what? The Lord's going to show that he can rule in righteousness and glory and power over this one. And then there'll be the new one that will be forever. It's not that there's going to be an earth. Are you afraid of meteors and asteroids destroying the earth? No need to be. Our Lord's in control. Our Lord is in control. I am the Lord, and there is nothing else. Verse number 19, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not to the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are upright. He says, I haven't told you to seek me for an empty end. Behold, how much you and I need Jesus. We need him. What man can fulfill these things? What man can make this purpose of God come to pass? The Lord has not been in the dark place. You know what? The Lord all through time, through the millennia, has been revealing himself more and more and more. Isn't that something? And you and I live down here, I believe, at the end. We have been blessed to see and understand so much about the Lord. So brother mentioned dealing with Abraham, brother Mark. Can you imagine how it would be to go for so long a time in between not having anything in a book, but having the promises that the Lord had given to Abraham, and then not hear from the Lord from the standpoint of as the Lord spoke to Abraham and how he was dealing with him in that day for months or years. And here you and I have this. We've got this every moment of every day. You get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's here. You go to bed at night at 11:35, it's here. You got up this morning at 2, it's put your clock back. The Word of God was there, right? He said, I've not instructed you to seek me in vain. Verse 20, assemble yourselves and come. He says, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up wood of their graven image and pray to a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? He's told us everything, the truth always, and will. And there is no God else beside me, a just God. So you know what? You can trust him. The Lord's not fickle. He's not going to lead down this way and then change things. He tells the truth. He tells the way it is. Behold, how we need the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. What other God says that they're a Savior? Tell me about the gods of men. The gods of men, because that's where they come from, Satan and men, do they care about men? They are like men. All they care about is what they can get from mankind. But God, the Lord God, Jehovah God, He is a Savior. And there is none beside me. Verse 22, what's he say here? We see Cyrus being used of the Lord for the sake of his nation, Israel. And he says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. It goes beyond Israel. It goes beyond Israel to every creature, every tribe, every ethnicity, every language, every tongue. He says, look unto me. Amen. Look unto me. And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness. He said, I've said it, you can count on it. And shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. I tell you what, are you glad to bow the knee to the Lord today? I'm thankful for it. Aren't you? It's a blessing to understand and know that He is God. Beside Him, there's none other. In Jesus Christ, He will be praised and worshiped. Our Lord Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. And we bow the knees to Him because He's worthy to be praised, honored, and glorified. What a deliverance. I didn't even know I needed to be delivered. But He brought that word into us, didn't He? I've sworn by myself, the word is going out of my mouth, verse 23, shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Amen, we do, don't we? In Him we do. We don't find it in ourselves, but in Him we do. In Him we do. Even to Him shall men come, and all that are incensed against Him shall be ashamed. Because they're following after the broad way that leads to nothing but destruction. And the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, be made just, and shall glory even along with the Gentiles. In Isaiah 55, another hallmark passage here, behold how much you and I need Jesus. In verse number 1 of Isaiah 55, ho, everyone that thirsteth, and come ye to the waters. Is he speaking to Israel? Is everyone just mean Israel? We saw back in Isaiah 45 that his intent is to the nations. So he's got a purpose with Israel, and he's got a purpose with people. He's got a purpose with his church. You and I have been blessed to know about that to boot, haven't we? The Lord's institution and His church, His third institution as we understand it. We've been greatly blessed. He's saved us and He just hadn't left us. He puts His Spirit within indeed, and there are those that are saved that are not in His church. But you know what? He's given us together in that like-mindedness of the Spirit of Christ being within us. And we have fellowship here and we've got a purpose and a work to do for His sake and for the sake of others. That's the reason Paul suffered the things that he did, didn't he? Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, don't worry about it. Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. What the Lord has is free. It's free. It really, really is free. You know what you and I says, what you and I say, if it sounds good, it's probably, if it's free, if they say that it's free, it's too good to be true, right? Not with the Lord. Now with men, there's always a hook, but not with the Lord. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. You hear that? That's the Lord speaking. Listen to me. Listen to what? What he said, what he took 40 men and 1600 years to take and put this book together. What he said, hear me, listen to me, hearken diligently. What's that mean, hearken? Right, Aaron? To listen and obey, right? We've been dealing with that for years, and it's a good word, hearken. Hear it. and act on it. Believe it. Follow it. Hearken diligently unto me and eat ye that which is good. It's free. Let your soul delight itself in the fatness of the Lord. Incline your ear and come unto me. And that means take that ear and bend it over there where you can hear good. Incline it. Turn that ear to the Lord. And come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Why would the sure mercies of David be anything to us? I have wondered about this passage, or this portion, the sure mercies of David. The mercies of David. I tell you what, the Lord was good to David, and is good to David, isn't he? You think about David. That David was a man after God's own heart, a king. David, you and I wouldn't have picked David out of the crowd to be king. But the Lord knew the kind of man that he wanted. He's not a perfect man. What do you see with David? A shepherd. David cared for the helpless. He ventured and risked his life to kill the lion and the bear. David's a man full of faith, where he went out with a sling and five smooth stones. I can't remember how many. Five smooth stones? Yeah, because Goliath had some brothers. And in the power of the Lord slew the giant. He said, is there not a cause? David didn't shirk back from opportunity and responsibility. David went forth. David went forth in the Lord. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, this David, a leader and commander of the people. You know what? He's a type of Christ, isn't he? He can't do it all the way. But what is it? What is it about the Lord Jesus? A promise of one that would come, that would sit on the throne of his father, David. Why is that important? The spirit and the way of the man. The spirit of the way of the Lord in using this man. He says, behold, I've given him for a witness to the people. I think ultimately speaking of Christ, a leader and commander to the people. That's what we need. Remember how it says in the Gospels how the Lord Jesus looked on at the people and they were sheep, as if they were sheep without a shepherd? Behold how much you and I need the Lord Jesus. We need him, don't we? Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew thee, that knew not thee, shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Those are his words, not mine. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. We do say and reiterate those words again, don't we? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. There's coming a day that things will not be the same as they are today. Oh, and the difference is going to be traumatic. The difference is going to be terrific. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Listen, repent. Because remember how we looked at that last Sunday? If you don't repent, you'll likewise perish. A terrible, terrible death. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his wicked thoughts. Let him return. Come unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And let him return unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Submit and repent. That's what the Lord says. He doesn't say build a tower, build a road, build a house, do some great feat. He says repent. Repent and submit. For he will abundantly pardon, the Lord says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, what do we see here? We're seeing a reference to something. So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, we understand about that, right? Rain and snow, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word, God says, be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. That's the way our Lord's working. He sent out his word. We sent out his word. What's one of the names for Jesus? The Word. He is the Word, and he's fulfilled the Word. And in him is all the Word of God. Have you received him? Do you believe him? Do you strive against that way? Because see, the Lord doesn't work the way you and I work. If it had been up to you and me, we would have just squashed us. But he's been long-suffering. So much so that he even sent his son to be a savior for sinners. He says, and this that you understand about how it works on the earth and the water, that's the way my word is. So shall my word, verse 11, be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. You know what? You and I, as the children of God, and here in his church, Olmsted Baptist Church, we've got a great promise that if we'll take the word of God out, the Lord will use it. One way or the other, he'll use it. It'll never be an empty distribution, whether by voice or whether by print or however, of his word. It'll never be empty. It'll never be hollow. It'll accomplish that which I please and shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. This is salvation brought by the Lord. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name and an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The Lord will save sinners. He will save his people. And in the Lord is only found, only in him is found a blessing. In Luke chapter 11, we bring this up to our Lord Jesus time again. He says, we read in Matthew 11, The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that can reveal the Father unto sinners. We see here in Luke chapter 11, verse number 13, the Lord speaking about prayer. And listen to what he says here in verse number 13. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, our children ask, grandchildren ask, great-grandchildren ask, and we look to give them that which is good, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? By the word of God and by what God has said in his word and by this, what God tells to mankind, have you seen that you have a lack? Have you seen that you have a need? Have you gone to the Lord with that need? I tell you, you will not find the answer in yourself or anybody else. Nobody else has got the answer. If you see the need, it's only the Lord that has the answer. But see, Adam knew the Lord had the answer, didn't he? But you know what? Because of his sin, he's found hiding from the Lord. It prevails nothing to hide from the Lord. It will bring no person to any good end. Here, the Lord Jesus indicates that it's the Father that can give the Holy Spirit and to give that to them that ask him. Do you want to be filled with God, or do you just want to go your own way and follow your own sin? I think that this applies to the sinner and to we that are saved. Do we want the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, to prevail in our lives and to be manifest in his service? Or do we just kind of want, you know, just enough to get along and kind of mediocre? Do we ask the Lord to fill us? Oh, we've got the Spirit of God living within us as children, but we avail ourselves to him more and more. How is it that the Father gives the Holy Spirit to folks? Well, look in Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, we see right here, John is preaching, John the Baptist. And in verse number 16, we jump in here, Luke chapter 3, verse number 16, in verse number 15, if you will, Luke 3, 15. How is it that the Father gives the Spirit? Listen. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The Father gives the Spirit to them that ask him. How? By and through his Son. He's the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. He's got the Holy Spirit and gives it. It says in verse number 17, whose fan is in his hand, speaking of Jesus, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, gather his wheat into the garner. Those that have been changed and touched by his Spirit that he has given them. Do you need to be saved? Have you been shown that you need to be saved? Do you want to be saved? Oh, if you don't care, how sad. How sad. Because the Lord says, look unto him. Look unto him. Take this to him. He'll gather the wheat into the garner, that which is changed by his Spirit, but the chaff, that which is not touched by his Spirit, he'll burn with fire unquenchable. Behold how much we need the Lord Jesus. He's the one that reveals the Father. He's the one that gives the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 3, and speaking about this of conviction and this of how much that we need the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a balance that's here in the Scripture of responsibility that you and I have as men, women, boys, and girls. We've got a responsibility. But you know what? We're dead in trespasses and sins naturally. Dead. And dead men don't do anything. Dead men are dead. But you know what? It's by the Lord's word that he makes alive. Listen to what John says here. His disciples are coming to him. Jesus is baptizing, and with his disciples are doing so. And his church, as he's begun his church and that. And there's a dispute between John's disciples and the Jews about purifying, it says in verse number 25. They come to John and they declare to John the Baptist, how the one he said was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world is over there baptizing too. And everybody's going over there, John. Our business is decreasing and his is increasing. They're worried about the numbers, aren't they? Verse number 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You know, that's true too, isn't it? We talk about this, a conviction. I tell you what, we won't have a good conviction unless it's given to us. And we see how the Lord takes and addresses man generally with his word. But it's only by his Spirit and by his power that people are reached and touched specifically. And who has the power of the Spirit? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Behold how much we need the Lord Jesus. He's the key, isn't he? He is the key. God's almighty word has been given from heaven. I mentioned that earlier, and there's a play on words regarding that. God's almighty word has been given. The text and the person. And you need him. I need him. We need him indeed. In Colossians chapter 2, the apostle writing to the church of Colossae, he, in the first chapter, tells about all that Jesus is, because he is everything. And in chapter 2, verse number 9, we just see this one verse here that's so weighty and so powerful. Behold how much you need Jesus. Speaking of Jesus Christ, For in him, Colossians 2, verse number 9, for in him, that is in Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one that you and I need. We need him as his children to walk day by day and fulfill all his will. You that are here and not saved, you need him if there's going to be any help for you and hope for you whatsoever. We come back to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And so in light of this and these things and these passages that we've read, listen to what the Lord says here in this concise passage and portion of Scripture. Behold how much you need Jesus. Matthew 11, verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. You can't know God without Jesus Christ. It's just the same thing that the Lord Jesus is saying in Matthew or John chapter 14, verse number 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And what's he say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, there can be a great labor and a heavy burden about the Word of God coming to a person and them seeing their sin and their great need and not understanding, not knowing what to do with it. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need to go to the Lord Jesus with it. He's the one that has the Holy Spirit. He's the one that can give salvation. He's the one that can take the burden of your sin, your depravity, your need. It's all found in Jesus. We need him, don't we? Behold how we need Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest from that burden. I will give you rest from that labor. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. See, in the Lord Jesus is the answer for everything. For I am meek and lowly in heart. He's power under control. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. You know, there's rest in salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's rest in service. You get a child of God that's saved, you know, well, a child of God is saved, right? A child of God that's not obedient to their Lord, there's no rest, is there? There's no peace, there's no rest, there's no help. But with the Lord and obedience to him, repentance, I tell you what, there's a great blessing of rest, isn't there? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Everybody's going to have a yoke. Everybody's got one. Everybody's got a burden. But what do you think? Isn't it a better burden to be the servant of the Lord Jesus than the servant of sin? Isn't it better to have a burden for the salvation of others and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ rather than having the burden of the condemnation of our sin in eternity? I tell you what, behold how much we need Jesus. Amen. Amen.